Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Today I'm going to talk about compromise and tolerance. No compromise. Look at this verse 6 in Nehemiah 13. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem. Remember, I told you that he had gone back to Susa, and King Artaxerxes let him go back to check on the city. Now look, but during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king. So he goes back and he wants to look at his work and all he had established in rebuilding the city. Now, he was very upset when he got back and saw what was going on. They began to compromise and they began to tolerate things that were totally not from God. Now, sin and compromise are major problems when it comes to rebuilding our lives. We play with sin at times and think it's no big deal. But I'm here to tell you, it is a big deal. Sin is a big deal. And we have to see it for what it is. If we don't deal with it, it grows and keeps growing in our lives. And it will take you down. It will keep you from rebuilding your life. Sin is like cancer. If you don't get it at its root, it will spread. And there's going to be a funeral. We have to deal with it. Am I making sense? So number one, this chapter here in 13 is to leaders. And I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you are leaders. You're leading children. You're leading somebody. You're leading in a church. You're leading in the school. You're leading at work. You're leading somebody somewhere. Somebody's watching your life. And that's what this chapter is about. It's for you. Don't think, well, he's not speaking to me. No, we're talking to you. And me. I'm talking to me too. All right. So number one, no Tobias. Why no Tobias? Remember, Tobias was an enemy of Nehemiah. Tobias was always accusing Nehemiah and always trying to bring down what Nehemiah was establishing. You know, in the church, but he was in the city. He was in the church, so to speak. And he was always trying to accuse of Nehemiah and trying to bring him down, and that's why we say no Tobias. Now, why do we say no Tobias? Tobias was an Ammonite, and an Ammonite was not to be in the house of God. Well, that sounds pretty strong. Ammonites opposed the word of God, the will of God, the work of God, and the ways of God. And when it comes to an Ammonite, you got to get the Ammonites out of your life. And that's the way it is. Get it out. You don't play with it. You don't counsel it. You get it out. Verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the what? The evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. Eliashib prepared and, well, you know, Tobiah, you know, he didn't like Nehemiah, and he was, you know, he didn't really always get along. And he just, but he's, you know, he's, we can just let him in, and you know, he'll change if he just gets in, you know, and we'll help him change, and you know, we'll work with him, and you see this? Tolerance. Knowing that that they weren't supposed to be in the temple. Eliashib was a priest. Now here's the kicker. Eliashib's kid married Tobiah's kid. Ooh. Now we got the family working together. Oh, that never happens in the church. Oh, yes, it does. So now, oh, well, you know, get the leadership, he's family, sure. We'll let him in and we'll work with him. No. Look what it says, chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. You got to get him out. You don't bring him in to the temple. You don't bring the devil in, right? Because that's what he represents, the devil. You do not allow tolerance and mercy to trump obedience and truth. You do not allow tolerance and mercy and compromise to trump obedience and the truth. They knew that God had said there's no Moabite to be in the temple, but they went ahead and did it anyways. Now look at this. No Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. Now, Nehemiah does not put compromise and tolerance above the truth of God. And that's the way we should be. Don't allow compromise and tolerance to trump the obedience and truth of God. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple in Matthew 21? He cleansed the temple. He went in and he drove out the money changers, threw them out. Then he threw out the chairs that the doves were on. Got him out of the temple. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Now, what's he talking about? He threw out the money changers. What's he talking about there? You know what he's talking about? That's what they counted the money on. And that's what they counted on. Here's the idea. What you count on other than God, it's got to get out of your life. You are the temple of God now. What you count on other than God, it has to go. And then it says the chairs that the doves were on. The chairs are what brought them comfort. Anything that brings you comfort other than Jesus has got to go. You got to get it out of your life. Only he should be the one bringing you comfort. And only he can truly bring you comfort. And then it says, you've made my house a den of thieves. What's he talking about, a den? In Jeremiah 7, it talks about a den as well. And a den was a place for criminals to hide until the heat was off. Until the heat came, they'd commit a crime and they'd go hide in these dens and then wait till the heat was off and then they'd go back to doing what they were doing before. And Jesus said, you've made my house, the temple of God, a den of thieves. You see, that's what happens. When you draw comfort from anything else than Jesus and you count on anything other than Jesus, you are allowing a den. Your life is becoming a den of thieves for thieves to come in and steal from you. Are we making sense? Now look at this. Do not allow tolerance and compromise to trump obedience and truth. Well, you said that before. I'm going to keep saying it. The church is what God has chosen to influence the world. And that's why we got to be aware of what we're allowing in and what's coming in. Am I making sense? You got to hear this. It's so important because Jesus said, I will build my church, right? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus loved the church. He loved the church. The church is the bride of Christ. He had a love for the church. And you and I, if we have a love for the church, we're not going to let this stuff in our lives. As a pastor, I'm conscious when I pray, I'm coming up here this morning, I'm thinking, and last night I'm thinking about all of you. I have a responsibility here, and I'm going to watch over the church. You know what it talks about in Revelations? In Revelations it says, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos. You know what he says, the word angel? The word angel is angelos. And that word angelos means messenger. And the word messenger in the Greek means prophet and pastor. So the pastor of the church is the one I'm going to speak to first. You see that? And that's the one who has the responsibility. When something happens in the church, they don't say, well, who's the youth pastor there? They don't say, well, who's the Sunday school teacher there? They don't say, well, who's the elder there? They say, who's the pastor? Why? Because that's the way it's set up. The pastor is the messenger. And we're to receive. It's not because I wanted all that. That's just the way it is. So I feel that. As a pastor, I'm going to watch out over my sheep. And wolves are going to try to get in. You see, I'm to keep the wolves out. And the wolves are always looking for wounded sheep. And I'm always trying to help wounded sheep. We don't want them coming in here and devouring. So folks, we got to raise our level of consciousness on what we're doing and what we're allowing in our lives. We want to keep the Tobias out. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. You know, I'm not a hireling. Jesus said, beware of a hireling. A hireling is somebody you hire them in to do a job. I'm not a hireling. I was called to this place. You think I'd be here if I wasn't called? When you're called to something, that changes everything. You're not just hired. You know what a hireling would do? A hireling would do something to please the people. Do you think I'm here to please you? You know that's not right, right? That's what a hireling does. Jesus said, beware of that. He doesn't want hirelings over the church. He wants somebody who's called, because somebody who's called really is concerned about people because they've been through something themselves. Am I making sense? And that's really what it's all about. Now, he says in Ephesians 4:26, do not give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Verse 8 in Nehemiah, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms. He cleaned the temple. What are you supposed to do? When you cast out a demon, you're supposed to keep the house clean, right? That's what he's talking about here. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. You clean that house, you got to keep it clean. Nehemiah threw them out, threw all the stuff out. Don't give place to the devil. It talks about anger. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Ephesians 4, you can go there if you'd like. 26, I'm sorry. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Anger, not dealt with, turns into resentment. Resentment turns into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness turns into bitterness. Bitterness defiles many, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. You see, folks, that's why you can't just get hurt and not deal with it. You can't allow resentment in. You got to get it out. Don't give place to the devil. You see, when you have resentment, you're now there's a place in your life for the enemy to come in and do a work in your heart. Resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, defilement. Remember, defilement means unholy. If you have bitterness, you cause many to be defiled, unholy. He says, without holiness, no one sees the Lord. I don't want to be a vehicle of bitterness. I remember this story. It's an old Indian wise fable. This Indian's told this story of this pioneer who was climbing this mountain. And he was on his way up this big mountain, and he was climbing, and about halfway up the mountain, he runs into this snake. It's a story, okay? He runs into a snake. And this snake looks at him and says, I'm old and I'm getting ready to, I don't have much life left and I'm cold-blooded and I'm old. I can't move very well, but I would really like to see another sunset. Could you take me up to the top of the mountain so I could see a sunset? The pioneer says, no, you're a snake. I'm not taking you up there. He goes, you know, but I really would love to see another sunset before I die, before I pass on. I want to see a sunset. And the pioneer goes, oh, well, you know, what's one little hike, extra hike going to hurt? Carry him on up there and enjoy that sunset. So he puts him in his jacket. They go on up and the sun's setting. It's beautiful. So he says, I'm going to let him see this. So he unzips his jacket. And the snake bites him in the heart. He says, what are you? What are you? You told me. He says, you knew what I was before you took me in. That's the way it is. You know what it is. You know when sin's right there. You know what it is. Am I talking to the right people? I'm talking myself, right? We know it's nothing to play with. We don't compromise with it, right? We don't tolerate it. All right. Now, verse 10, let's look at this. Nehemiah. I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. Number one was what? Get rid of Tobias. Number two, do not forsake the house of God with sin. Did you see what he said? I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together and set them in their place. Now, think about this. They're already forsaken the house of God. Remember, they made a vow in chapter 10 and a commitment that they were never going to forsake the house of God. Because the house of God is where you flourish and you fulfill his will when you are connected in the house of God, with the people of God. That's how you do it. They had forsaken the house of God. How? They stopped tithing. They stopped giving. And look what happened. The people, it says, for each of the Levites and the singers, the Levites were those who were the leaders in the church, who did the work in the temple, had gone back to his field. They had to go back to their field, to their jobs, because they weren't being supported by the people, because the people didn't want to do and for the will of God in bringing their tithe into the temple of God. Well, you know, you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, I've lost my job. And, you know, folks, that's when you start tithing. That's when you make sure you're tithing, because you want that protection over you. It's not how much, just make sure you're tithing. 10 cents out of a dollar. No matter how many dollars you bring in, you give 10 cents out of each one to the house of God. And that's a protection for you and the house of God. And that's the way God has set it up. When we don't obey that, we allow Tobiah and the enemy into our lives in the financial area and other areas. Because if you don't have that area working, that opens the door up for a whole lot of other things to happen in your life. Am I making sense? In Nehemiah 10:39, we will not neglect the house of God. That was their vow, but they did by not giving. Now, money is the chief enemy of your soul. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, mammon was a spirit. It's the spirit of the world system. And that spirit was a Greek goddess. Mammon was a Greek goddess, and it's a spirit of the world. When all you think about is money, if that's what you think about all the time, you are serving mammon. And I'm going to tell you something. Mammon will kick you while you're down. And that's why you got to understand this. Because if you forsake the house of God for mammon, that's what he wants. That's what... Oh, you know, well, you don't, I'll never have enough. Remember, that's the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, mammon. Remember the Antichrist. I'm not going to have enough to buy or sell. You know, I won't have enough. Times are getting bad. And he puts that fear on you, and you're not going to have enough to buy and sell. But really, that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God says, you're robbing me, right? We don't want to forsake the temple of God. All right, now look at this. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor God with your wealth. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. 1 Samuel 2:30, you see, we're to honor God with our first fruits. What's that? That's what you bring in first. Remember, my paycheck is what I bring in first. I give 10%. Of what the gross I bring in first. That's first. God is calling us, folks. He's calling us. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Listen, 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you honor God, God is going to honor you. I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what's coming out there. You're an overcomer. And when you understand that God has hidden manna, he has a word for you, and he has wisdom and understanding hidden for you, when you cling to what he says and you say, I'm trusting what God says, not what it looks like, not what it feels like, I'm going with what God says, because we're not going to be overcome by what happens to us. We're going to walk and we're going to be overcomers. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's how we're going to be overcomers. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. And we're overcomers. Well, my wife left me. You're an overcomer. Well, we went bankrupt. You're an overcomer. Folks, you can overcome. That's what Jesus is saying. Hold fast. He says, hold fast to my works and deeds. Hold fast to what he's doing and what he's saying, and he is going to get you through it, and you're going to be an overcomer. It's not how you start, it's how you finished. Amen? Come on, are you getting this morning? And God is calling us to be overcomers. This is the victory, our faith. Thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. When he's leading you into victory, and he's letting everybody know that you got the victory and you be smelling good. You can smell it when somebody has victory. You can smell joy. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another and stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. All the more as we see the day, capital D, that's the day of the Lord, return of the capital, all the more as we see the day approaching. You see, we're to stir up love and good works, and that's what we're doing. We're not forsaking. We're coming together. That's what we're doing. This is part of the will of God. This is the will of God. We're doing, and that's what we're doing. We're not forsaking. We're coming together, and it's taking place. Now, I remember this story about a guy who didn't want to go to church. Anybody ever not want to come to church? You don't feel like coming to church. You ever just don't feel like it? There's never a time I don't want to preach. I always want to preach, because that's really what I'm called to. But there's a lot of times I don't feel like going to church. But you know what? It's not what we feel like. But I know, you know what? When I get there, something comes off. It's like when you get around the family of God, something comes off. I mean, literally, it's like, whoa, something is lifted. That's the anointing of God on the church. It's like you can just feel it come off of you. You come in with a heaviness and it's off. That's because it's God's way. You see, he's in you all. You're the temple of God. When we gather together, there's an anointing there. The word anointing is yoke-destroying, burden-lifting power. Lifts it off. Now look at this. This guy didn't want to go to church one morning. Wakes up and he says to his mom, I don't feel like going to church today. Those people don't even like me up there anymore. And she goes, well, you know you should go to church. He says, well, give me three good reasons why I should go to church. She says to him, she goes, you always feel better when you go to church. Number two, you know God wants you to go to church. You know he wants you to go to church. Number three, you're the pastor. You should be there. Folks, a lot of times we don't feel like it, right? It's time to get there. It's not about how you feel. You know, we got to put those feelings aside and get in there and do what's right. And it will show up in your life. It will show up. Overcomers. Number three, we got to get rid of this natural tendency of the flesh. Our flesh always wants to take us places that God isn't involved in. William Booth said, a natural fire will go out unless you keep it going and restoke the coals and remove the ashes. The fire will go out. Now that's simple, but that's exactly how it is. You have to stoke it. You have to keep fueling it. You have to keep the fire burning. You have to keep it going. And the flesh will always try to put it out. All disobedience comes from the flesh. All disobedience is evil. Let's look at verse 7 in Nehemiah chapter 13. And I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. Now, he didn't do that in the will of God. He did that in his flesh. Verse 17, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do? Here it is. by which you profane the Sabbath day. See that? They weren't taking the Sabbath. They weren't honoring God. Verse 26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. You see, you never marry outside of the faith. You don't marry an unbeliever. It ain't gonna work. You have to marry somebody who's in the faith. It won't work that any other way. It has to be in the faith. That's just the way it is. You know, the flesh, that's why, how could you come to a place like this and still be participating in all that stuff? On a continuous basis, it's going to take some obedience somewhere, right? What are you talking about? I'm talking about flirting at the office, flirtation that seems little and insignificant, but it is everywhere. I'm talking about pornography on the internet. That generates more money than anything right now. I mean, that is like the number one moneymaker, pornography. And it will destroy your soul. It will destroy you and kick you while you're down. Remember, they took an oath to do God's will. Sin and compromise must stop. The first one who did not stand up was Adam. Adam, back in the garden, was with Eve. Was with her. It says he heard what Eve had said to the snake while talking and walking about. She gave to her husband what the snake, Adam was passive. You see this? Folks, we got to get some guts and stand up for what we believe and what God is calling us to. We just have to stop tolerating things in our life. You know, you're not addictions. You know, all these things that are taking us down, those things are affecting our children. They're affecting your influence. They're affecting you. When we draw a line in the sand and we say, we're not going to do this, we need to stop these things. Well, Pastor, you're a little bit hard today. No, I'm going to be hard. I can't do this without making this stuff plain. I don't want this in my life. And that's why we got to make a decision. Are we going to do it His way and keep going forward and keep coming together and change this city, change this nation? We can do that. But it starts where? In our homes, right? In our hearts. Starts in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities, in our cities, in our state, in our nation. That's the way it works. Now, there was this old man in this church, and he was always at the prayer meetings, and he'd been going to church all of his life. And he always prayed, oh God, cleanse me. Get these cobwebs out of my life. Remove these cobwebs, God. This is what he prayed all the time. And there was a guy had been hearing him pray this for years. And he got tired of it. And he said, and the old man prayed out, oh God, remove these cobwebs. And the guy that was tired of it spoke up and he said, kill the spider. That's what I'm saying to you today. Kill the spider, right? Don't tolerate it. Don't compromise with it. Don't counsel it, right? Kill it.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.